Coming up on Patriots This Week, frustrated in Foxborough.
I think we're a better team than we showed today.
It was a tough day.
Shady McCoy and the Bills lasso the Patriots, buffaloing their unbeaten streak.
What we got to do is take everything that we didn't do well today and learn from it.
So every two steps we took forward, we took two steps back.
Now the Patriots expect to take a giant step forward.
We're back!
Freed from his exile. It's a declaration of independence for the most famous patriot of all.
Tom's back at quarterback, baby.
Now let's get ready for some football on Patriots This Week.
It's the week we've been waiting for. Week 5 of the NFL season marks the return of Tom Brady at quarterback, but as we welcome you to Patriots This Week, New England's team is trying to rebound from its first shutout loss at home since 1993. And hi, everyone. I'm Bob Soucy alongside Scott Zolak, my radio partner on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and a longtime Patriot quarterback. And next to him, three-time Super Bowl champion for the New England Patriots, Matt Chatham. And guys, right from the opening kickoff on Sunday, things went awry for the Patriots, exactly the opposite of what unfolded a week ago the previous Thursday when the Pats shut out the Houston Texans.
Yeah, we enjoyed watching that Houston game and watch Houston implode and bring kicks out and fumble kicks. Right. And then there's Cyrus Jones, and not only did it once, but he did it twice. And then he muffed a punt. Danny Amendola muffed a punt. It wasn't just one guy, Bob. I think it's a breakdown, a systematic breakdown. Matt, you've played on these special teams units. It's across the board. Guys out of bounds on the white. You're not blocking. The gunners aren't getting down there in time. I mean, Matthew Slater on one of those was telling him, stay in the end zone, and he still brought it out. Before a rookie quarterback gets a recipe for disaster as far as field position.
And as special teams players, we know that it's sort of on us to start the game well, right? You want to get off on a – you had a hard week
tone
of practice.
Tone setters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the bigger issue there, just to talk about that one particular play, is it's not only the stop-start that was a problem. It's whenever you catch the ball going sideways. That's why you often see them with two safeties or two returners so that a guy's not running over to a ball and then having to make a decision on the move. The reason that matters is when you're going sideways, they're advancing towards you. You need to catch it under it and get going through. At any point, especially now with the old 25-yard line as the new rule, if it's not perfect, don't take it out.
Now, Matthew Slater took it on himself this week to the media, taking responsibility for those mishaps in the kicking game, and yet the Patriots still have the opportunity to get out of that hole, and Julian Edelman catches a pass and goes 90 yards, all for naught, comes back, a couple of penalties downfield on Chris Hogan, and the Pats never dug out of that hole, but that was indicative of the rest of the day. A lot of uncharacteristic mistakes, including penalties.
Not only that, you started to see, I think, the game plan offensively. It was a lot of misdirection. It was motion. It was jet sweep action. Play fakes underneath. Trying to get flow going one way. Make it easy throws for Jacoby Brissett, who ended up getting a start. We all thought it was going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. Not so the case. Something happened, I think, at the end of the week, whether it was an accuracy, whether it was a strength issue, and they elected to go with the young rookie.
Yeah, it's just, it was frazzled play. I think there was a lot of sort of the stuff that we were mocking Houston, quite frankly, for the week before. There was a lot of ragged stuff out of New England's side of it, where missed blocks and, you know, not having the edge in the defense and just little things you don't normally see them do. The execution issues that we were so impressed by, they were able to come up with the gadgets on short time against Houston. Now with more time, they were sort of blowing the execution themselves.
Were they too conservative against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday?
I think they were fair to Jacoby Brissett. People forget this kid's a rookie making his second start. So everything's spinning on him. He was supposed to be the third guy. This offense is built for Tom Brady. So when Tom comes back, I think Josh is going to worry less about getting a certain game plan together for a certain guy.
Jacoby Brissett has not seen a leaf change in New England yet. He has not been here that long. So what you could do with him, I think the expectation level has to be pretty muted.
How much of that was out of respect for Rex Ryan's defense, coupled with the fact that you had this two-game starter in his rookie campaign at quarterback?
I don't know, Bob. I mean, we've played this game with Rex back and forth, and we think, you know, Rex is really going to blitz Tom Brady, and he's going to go after him. First thing he does is muddy up the middle of the field, drops 8, rushes 3. Rex is Rex. He's going to call his game. I don't think the game plan was any different, whether it was Jacoby Brissett or Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it would have been the same thing.
Now, as it turned out, the Bills had a 13-0 lead. They had 3 scoring drives of 10 plays or more. At the same time, the Patriots' offense had 10 total plays. So
there's
the Pats' defense had a tough time getting off the field.
That's your first half right there. So, I mean, to think that this team was only down 13-zip, then it got to 16-zip, and you had a chance a couple times. You had a chance where you're going in. Brandon Bolden had a nice chance at a pass play. Jacoby Brissett on a run. If he slides there, maybe you kick the field goal. Maybe we're looking at a 13-6 game. instead of 16-0.
Yeah, I think that's something I'm certain would be hammered home in those defensive meeting rooms. You look up on the scoreboard and you say, oh, we only gave up 16. Maybe it wasn't that bad of a day. It was time of possession.
Play. It felt like 40.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Play accumulation. You looked at that first half and it flew by. Why? Because they controlled the football. You have to be able to get them off the field.
First time Tyrod Taylor won a game for the Buffalo Bills when he passed 30-plus times. And while the Patriots had that contain rush, they played a lot of zone coverages, and he was able to complete a lot of throws underneath.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good. I thought he was reading well. There was never really pressure. There weren't people in his face. He didn't have to leave the pocket. But that also helps to have Shady McCoy offset to his side. So you come off the play fake, you got four defenders chasing him, and now it's Tyrod Taylor one-on-one with the defensive end. That's a mismatch.
Yeah, I think we'll now know the formula. Obviously, you face that team once again, and those two guys were the best players on the field on that day between McCoy and Taylor. They were too tough to get down. I think the angles that people took to take them down were off, and I think some of that lends towards this no tackling in preseason stuff, and you got to work it out. You hadn't seen a guy like that, and it looked a little ragged.
What about the Patriots' psyche? Bill Belichick now has a team 3-1. We know what happened 2 years ago when they had a similar kind of performance on a Monday night in Week 4, rebounding from that, and now Tom Brady, of course, comes back for Week 5.
You don't want that to happen, I mean, but I think it helps focus the team. I mean, imagine if you'd have flown through the Bills like I think a lot of people thought you would. You know, there is this a little extra motivation with Tom, but I think this helps him say, hey, you know what? Tom ain't going to help you tackle better. Tom's not going to help you cover better. Tom's not going to help you not jump off sides. Tom's not going to help Cyrus know whether or not to take it out of the end zone. That's got nothing to do with your quarterback. So from just the coaching standpoint, I think it helps sharpen sort of the knife around here locally to say that you can get beat anyway. And even though we're all going to be happy that our quarterback is back, if you play like that, you'll lose to the Browns.
Rob Gronkowski, any signs of progress? More snaps? More pass routes,
looks
relatively
like
speaking. What do you think about Gronk?
I think he's a mirror image of himself. I mean, he's not ready yet. It seems like they're trying to just get him going, get him in there, get some snaps, get him to lean on people.
You are able to do some things that are a portion of your job, and that's why it's like, hey, why, you know, let's get Gronk more involved. But if opening up and having him run seam routes and then return to the line of scrimmage and block a 290-pound guy, that's difficult. So you give him what he can take, and then it's sort of piecemeal. It comes as he can handle more. The final part of the puzzle, and we'll see that, is when he can extend and really open it up at the tail end of these routes. Doesn't look like he's there yet, but that doesn't mean he can't still be on the field and help you. You're just not going to get the highlight Gronk we're all used to.
Last week, not much involvement for Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, even Danny Amendola. Limited opportunities for him in the passing game. Now, they didn't throw it a lot, only three passes in the first half.
Right.
You expect that to change this week?
Yeah, I would. I think you're going to throw the ball 45 times minimum. Yeah. So you get the big guy in there and you get the rapport back. He's got to develop all of his timing back with the pads and everything, but it should be riding a bike for him.
Yeah, well, all these guys that we were excited about from personnel from the preseason walking through, it's like, okay, you got your new tight end and Bennett. How's he going to figure in as the second guy?
He looks really good.
Yeah, he does. He's actually the leading wide receiver right now, oddly enough. But Chris Hogan, you know, a guy that really hasn't been a big part, but we think that he could be. Now we get to see the toys in action and see, you know, is it going to be up to speed on this quick of amount of time? We don't know that, but I think we'll start to build and see where the offense can go.
When we come back, we'll talk about some issues in the NFL after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on LeGarrette Blount. The 6-foot, 250-pound ramming back was named the AFC's Offensive Player of the Month for September. And why not? The 29-year-old led the NFL in rushing last month while scoring 4 touchdowns. And the University of Oregon product is already the team's career postseason rushing touchdown leader with 6. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios and Patriots This Week. And guys, on Sunday, Poor officiating did not cost the New England Patriots a loss against the Buffalo Bills. But nonetheless, it was not a shining moment out there for Pete Morelli and his crew in particular when they weren't set as the Patriots quick-snapped it on Buffalo.
Yeah, and that's the one that bugged me because it wasn't really an accelerated turbo. So when Tom Brady runs that turbo offense, it's after a big play or he's trying to catch the positional group on defense to not allow them to switch. So he gets up there and hurry up and snaps it. Jacoby kind of did that. This wasn't a hurry-up move. The problem was you had the guy not set to the left. Pete Morelli's Pete Morelli. I mean, we've called games with him. Tony Corrente, I think some of these guys are getting older. There is a lot of human error out there. The Edelman non-call down the sideline, I thought, was ridiculous. But other than that, I mean, if you line up in a neutral zone, you're going to get flagged for it.
I think greater aggravation is just having to watch it. You guys having to call the game, us having to cover it.
It breaks the momentum of the game up. That's the problem.
It's literally, and I noticed there in Gillette how they light up the screen with yellow every time there's a flag. I swear the stadium was yellow like half the afternoon. The interruptions of play, you know, it's every other play. There's another flag. We have to stop. We have to listen to Pete talk again. It gets really aggravating, especially when they're so inconsistent.
What about the Cleveland Browns, this week's opponent? They're down 4-8. Game against Washington. Duke Johnson, running back, loses the ball, but then he recovers it. He's got it coming out of the pile, but possession is awarded to Washington.
What do you do? Do you file a complaint with the league? You put it in on a Tuesday note? That's all you can do.
Well, the biggest issue to me there was just the lame league reaction, and that's the biggest issue. They come out, everyone with your playing eye can see that Duke fumbled it, fell right upon it, stood up, handed it, and you have a female official. That shouldn't be an issue, but it felt like cover. I understand because the NFL is really bad with culpability. This is a group that had a $1 billion settlement and wouldn't agree that they did anything wrong. So, no, are they the kind of people who are going to come out and say, hey, we made a mistake this week. That was bad. We'll correct it next time. No, they say it would have been the right call. That's ridiculous.
I thought celebration was supposed to be a unified one where you have three guys getting in on at the same time. Guys shooting arrows. I did that back in the day down in the Georgia Dome down in 1995. And you're getting fined now for shooting arrows? I mean, they're not doing the throat slash. I mean,
hey,
the rules now are ridiculous.
Hey, archers in the street is a big issue in America, though.
Archers in the street. I thought it was clowns.
Clown archers, then you're screwed.
And of course, it points to a larger concern long-term. Viewership. The ratings are down for NFL games, especially in primetime, significantly through the first 4 weeks of the year.
For me, the biggest thing here is what do they really care about? And I think fans start to detect, like, what's most important here? Is it football? Do we come to watch football? Or do we come to watch the NFL's version of football, which is an abomination in my view? The most thing that matters is what goes on inside the 100. And when you get off the field, and a lot of what dictates outcomes is what the guys with the flags decide to do after the players stop playing their games. That's a problem, and I think fans start to get sick of it. You know, it's not that they're not going to tune in, but do they stay tuned in to the end? Or do they flip and say, oh, this is aggravating?
We'll talk about Tom Brady right after this.
Time now for your Zoe Show, and we're going to take a look at a very good back, Isaiah Crowell. And why are we looking at him? Because he's a good power back. We saw Shady McCoy last week. A lot of juking, a lot of shaking, a lot of cutting. Speed was there. I want you to watch the power of this guy. Not much cracking in there. What's he do? Lowers the boom, lowers the shoulder. Easy touchdown run right here. Through the gap. Nice job blocking right there. Big Joe Thomas on the backside for them. They do a great job sealing him. And this is what I don't want to see. Poor tackling. You take a look at this one. You're backed up. This is a field position game. You got him on the 15. It's just an easy counter, give backside. Look at these two safeties. Basically run into each other. This guy has the hit speed to hit that home run. So what do? Find out where Isaiah Crowell is. Get your linebackers on him. Let's go tackle. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Bob Soucy with Scott Zolak and Matt Chatham. Matt, your former teammate, Zoe, a guy you've watched for a long time play quarterback, returns this week for the Patriots. Tom Brady's been away from the team for a month. How does he pick up as seamlessly as possible? It's not going to be flawless, but nonetheless, how does he pick up where he left off, or at least approach that?
Well, I think it starts from snap number one in practice. He's got to get in there, and he's got to, I don't want to say reinstitute things, but he's got to show everybody, hey, the big guy's back. I'm the leader. I'm the captain. I'm the guy that sets the tone for this offense. And everybody will follow him. And I think it's been that way for 17 years. Bob, he comes in. He has a great week of practice. That's how it starts. And then we'll get to the game on Sunday.
I think the two biggest things that have to happen to make sure this is smooth is you have to take the lessons from when he wasn't here and don't forget them. LeGarrette Blount is still a big part of what you do.
You can run the ball now.
You can run the ball now. And I think that really helps set the table for letting Tom pick teams apart. The second portion of that is, where are the relationships? Where are the people that he doesn't need 2 months to get back up to speed with? It's Jules. You know, it's Gronk if he's healthy. So, and that I think is the big question mark. We'll find out as the game goes. Those are really the two pillars he leans upon when he's in the gotta have it moments. You know he can find Julian. You know he can put it on him. You know he can find Gronk and he can put on him. But is he ready to have that role? So is this something different than what we've seen in the past? Is it Bennett and Jules or something along that line?
Amendola's another guy. Another guy, certainly. He's in that circle of trust.
Yeah, the circle of trust. There you go.
We saw, as we've talked about in an earlier segment, penalties that were uncharacteristic. Mm-hmm. With Brady at quarterback, does that change some of those issues, the two guys moving at the same time? Is he more likely to get those players set, the full start on a wide receiver like Julian Edelman? Does Brady's return eliminate some of those problems?
It's a good question, because everything, I think, can be up here, too. A heightened sense of urgency, having him back, like, we got to be hitting on all cylinders. To your question, Brady should be able to recognize that and correct that like that. And that's where he's great.
What Zoe's saying, though, is right in that there is a different feel when he's in the room. I think it kind of makes you get on your sort of P's and Q's, because Tom is a very demanding guy. Exactly. Whenever Bob's in the room.
Straight up.
Bob's here. All right.
You guys tend to like that. When you talk about guys like Martellus Bennett and some of the other newcomers, when they were asked, what's it going to be like to play with Tom Brady, early in the week, they said, I don't know, I've never played a regular season game with him. Some of the things you're touching on. What is it like to play with Tom Brady, you think?
Well,
let's
put it this way. I think he just makes the room a little hotter. You know, everyone gets excited to be out there because of the possibility of what can happen. You've seen him torch other people. But you know that, man, if I play at a really high level here, if I just do my job, that whole thing, this guy back here is as good as anyone in the league. We're going to walk right down this field. So it's sort of the hope of what can be because he's out there with you.
And the best thing is 16-0 last week, they were dead in the water. 16-0 with Tom Brady, you have life. You know, it's one score, go for two, get him back down. Divisional round against Baltimore. You're never out of a game with this guy. Yeah.
And in four games, they have played managing the tempo for limited possessions, it seems. Mm-hmm. Now with Brady, does that open up the offense? Do we see more turbo, up-tempo style offense?
I think so. I think you see a little bit of everything. I think it's you just unveil the mask, and there it is. It's your offense again. Go ahead and run it.
The one thing I'm curious about, and I guess, again, it'll be answered on game day, but I think you can go fast, but I want to see how much of Tom's time is spent under center or in the gun. Because the one thing that we saw is, you know, you found out what Blount can do well. Do you want to see a bunch of gun runs with him? I don't think so. So I think they have to mix and match. Be willing to go fast with him under center, to get back under center and do things quickly from there, because then that keeps James Devlin involved. That keeps Blount involved. You can have the James White packages, and we've seen him be effective as well. But if you go exclusively to gun and Tom directing traffic, I think you cut out a part of what your guys do best.
When we come back, Matt and Scott are going to tell you how Brady and company will do against Cleveland with their prediction and game changer right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
While Browns fans have had little to cheer about this season, Terrell Pryor has fantasy players smiling. The former QB turned receiver has been averaging 15 yards per catch. Give him the start versus the Patriots on Sunday, but sit Matt Ryan. Despite torching Carolina last week, Matty will be iced this weekend when the Falcons get to Denver in that stingy Broncos defense. This week's sleeper is Zach Ertz. The Eagles tight end and rookie QB Carson Wentz have played well together and should have a big day against the Lions in Detroit. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
It's week 5. The Pats go to Cleveland. Tom Brady is back. And Scott Zolak, will his be a triumphant return?
I will not pick him as the game changer. 34-13, Patriots win this game. Julian Edelman is the game changer. I think the rhythm of those two, you know, Brady in sync with him, that's going to, he's going to catch 10, 11 balls in this game. They should beat Cleveland easily.
That was mine. No. Yeah.
Matt, safe really? To say we won't see Julian Edelman in the Wildcat this week.
That is safe. No Terrell Pryor stuff this week. But I'm going to go with the Patriots, obvious as well. I'll go 33-17. I'll go Martellus Bennett. I think the momentum he's had from the first four should carry over to this because if Tom knows he's got to lean somewhere, Gronk doesn't have to be at full speed. You can go to Martellus. He can get balls and he can put people on their back.
So it is indeed Tom Brady's return behind center for the Patriots. Of course, next week, his first home game at Foxborough's Gillette Stadium. We'll talk about that as the Patriots face the Cincinnati Bengals. But for now, from Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us. So long, everyone.